Raising Playful Tots, show number 137. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melissa. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids. And also so that we can introduce maybe a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi, I'm waving to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we sit in our pop-up tent here, reading a few books together in the garden. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Dr. Roberta Golenkoff, and that was called What is the Point of Play? And we talked about five elements that make up play. I don't know about you, but it's like I have new glasses on and seeing play so differently. It's like a new lens that I'm seeing play through when I look at the five elements that make up play. So if you missed that episode and our conversation, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. You can also search by subjects now and find shows based around different subjects that you're interested in, because I've been updating the site. Once a month, there's a show that's just me, and today I'm talking about outdoor play is more than sandpits. So I hope you'll stick around. Thanks. I'll be right back after this short break. You can listen to Raising Playful Tots while you're on the move by choosing Stitcher. Stitcher is a free app available for your smartphone. Downloading this app is really quick and easy. Enter Tots, that's T-O-T-S, during registration to be entered to win in their monthly draw. Then you'll receive the latest episode right there waiting for you of Raising Playful Tots. Not just that, but you can discover hundreds of other popular new shows. You can find all of this by visiting stitcher.com/tots. That's stitcher.com/tots. There was a time not so long ago when I would turn the boys out for some fresh air, out from under all of us, each other, and just go and play outside. And within moments, I had big eyes peering in through the glass. You'd think that I had sent them to prison. "When can I come in?" they'd cry. And they had that edge to their voice. They'd wander around the garden a little bit, but they were back really quickly at that glass, just peering in and staring. It was a real mystery to my husband and I, because we had fond memories of being outside a lot when we were their age. I can remember scuffing my burgundy shoes because they make excellent breaks. And I just remember getting into so much trouble because I used to use those shoes as my brakes the whole time. I used to ride up and down on them, and I used to skid and slide, and those shoes were terrible. And thinking about it, it's probably because then, way back then, burgundy shoes didn't have those really lovely shoe polishes that you can get now. You probably just had the standard black shoe polish, and so getting them to look nice again would have been really hard work. So I can understand now why my parents would have been probably really quite frustrated at these probably Clark shoes that cost a whole bunch of money. And there I was, scuffing them along instead of using the big handy brakes that I had on my bike. But I would much prefer just putting my feet down and being steadied that way. Well, when I look back on the time with my kids, that was probably 2010, when I first started this podcast, that's what I was dealing with. So I dedicated a whole year to finding out activities, prompts, and invitations to play that would light up their outdoor play in a way that their indoor play already shines so brightly. When you're used to playing indoors, going outside and playing is, I guess, a little daunting for many of our tots. Certainly was for my kids. Often they migrate to one or two activities only, which is fine, but there are so many things that they can do outside. Although sometimes I realise that the limitations are because of us. Because we limit what they can do when they go outside, or we don't show them some of the wonderful things that they can do. There are more things than just sandpits and water tables. So today's podcast, we're talking about outdoor play ideas. A little more than sandpits and water play. Fun as that is, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, there are so many other ways to play outdoors. So not all of these ideas that we talk about today will work for you. Or not all of these activities you'll want to do, and that's okay too. Because we have seasonal variations where we live. I mean, goodness, some places right now are really hot, some are really cold. Some of us have tarmac, some of us have concrete, some of us have grass, many of us have dirt. Do you have a wide open space, huge garden, or do you have a tiny spot on a concrete balcony? I hope you find some inspiration and don't get hung up on the little details. Hope you find things that you can do and then just do it. But before we dive in and discover some outdoor activities, there's going to be a lot of links in the show today. And I know that you might be running right now, driving, maybe going to work or coming home, and you can't get to write them down. No worries. If you don't catch them the first time round, of course you can rewind the podcast and listen again. And I also have the links in the show notes for you. So let's get to it. Sometimes we're just looking for inspiration. We might look outside in our back garden and think, you know, there's just not much going on there, and I wonder what else we can do. Now, if we've only got our friends' homes to look at, sometimes there isn't much to inspire us, and certainly we don't want to just do what they are doing. We want to do something that's uniquely us, that works for our family, and that's often where we trip ourselves up. When we look at things and think, I want to do it exactly like how that person has done it, when we really should adapt it and think about the age and the stage and the way that our family is. So let's start by looking at letthechildrenplay.net. And here we've got 12 top outdoor play spaces on Pinterest that she's got there. Now you've got the beautiful, the practical, the imaginative, the expensive, the frugal, the fits my pocket or fits my lifestyle or family, and all that goes in between if you look at these boards. I also know how easy it is to get overwhelmed on Pinterest, and seeing all these amazing play spaces that we can become discouraged because we look at ours and wonder if we will ever measure up. Now I say don't stress on it. Look, like, adapt or discard and move on. Many times just move on. Now you often realize that later on you get an idea all of your own about a garden that's kind of a mishmash of ideas that you've already seen and that you start to realize will actually work better for your family. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that we always put our best foot forward when capturing pictures most of the time. So many of the pictures that you see, we don't know what happened before, and we certainly don't know what happened afterwards. We want to see these lovely images to give us some inspiration. I really enjoyed Backyard Nature Play Spaces by Debbie Hung and Learning Spaces by Karina Kaur because of the variety of ideas that they showed. So check out their collections and all of the collections of the 12 top outdoor play spaces, and there's actually lots more links in that space there, because there's lots of really good natural outdoor play activities for our backyard area. So that's letthechildrenplay.net and look for 12 top outdoor play spaces on Pinterest. Now, I know a lot of you are saying we don't all have big spaces. We don't all live in a place where we have huge gardens and huge homes. And what happens if you live in an urban environment, for example, or you have a small yard, or maybe you just don't fancy the kids taking over the whole garden, but you want a small nook, a small little place that they can have that they would call their own. Well, Debbie Hung is based in Los Angeles, and she wrote an amazing post over on the Keen blog called 9 Fun Backyard Play Spaces for Families. And you should go there and check out her natural play station and the Garden of Wonder. Now, she's found fun ways to get imagination activities and ideas going using natural items and toys that you probably already have at home, all in a small space, or you can adapt it to a small space. So check that out at keenfootwear.com/blog and look for 9 fun backyard play spaces for families. Now, like many of you, my boys live away from their cousins, and the idea of sending a care package of fun play items really caught my eye when I was looking at some outdoor play activities for the show. It's a chance to be able to share the fun that they have and to think of others as well. So it's kind of a service opportunity. Of course, it's totally great to just do. You don't have to send this, but this was the concept that we were having here, was sidewalk chalk spray. That's what they were sending to their family members. And it was, I thought it was a really neat idea, but I also just like the idea of sidewalk chalk spray. And she uses 3 simple ingredients, and I can just see how much squirty spray fun that we would have with that. But just a quick side note, before you use many products, the label always tells us to test a small bit first. We all have fun when we know that things will wash out, wash off, not clog up, or cause more problems. So just check that out before you do any of these activities or any of the activities. But don't get hung up on it to the fact that you discard everything and you never do anything. But see if it's possible for you to do it and test it and trial it first. Even if it's just a small little bit. And you can check out the sidewalk chalk spray and find out what the 3 simple ingredients are by going to wineandglue.com and search for sidewalk chalk spray. Now, outdoor play is brilliant for using energy. And trampolines are also good for using energy too. Yeah, as you drive around your neighborhoods, trampolines are everywhere. It used to be the swing that you would see everywhere, and the adventure playground with all the different parts of the swings, but I'm seeing so many trampolines. I'm sure you are too. And there's lots of conversations around about this time of year, thinking about whether they should get a trampoline, replace the trampoline, move the trampoline, do something to do with the trampoline. I found a sunken trampoline and I thought that it was really interesting, so I thought I'd share it. I've never seen a sunken trampoline and it looks, I don't know, interesting. I quite like the idea of it. The idea is to dig down into the soil and place the trampoline on top. Of course, there's a whole series of steps and safety ideas you would have to do, but you now have the trampoline flush to the grass. So you literally step from the grass straight onto the trampoline. And I found an example of that over at littlegreenfingers.typepad.com. And she has a post on how to create a sunken trampoline. It looked so good. And the kids looked like they were having so much fun, and it really seemed funny because it looked like they were bouncing on the ground, but of course it was the trampoline that they were bouncing on. What I did like about it was, instead of having this big piece of equipment that draws your eye, you know, trampolines can seem to take over a garden, especially if you have a small-ish garden. Can be really difficult to put the trampoline in a safe place without it becoming the big thing in the whole of the garden. But when it was flush to the ground, the focal attraction, the, you know, the way that your eye saw it was just so different. It just didn't impact the garden in that way at all, but the kids still had fun. So I felt that it was the best of both worlds, really. So for those people that are looking for trampolines but have had some reservations, maybe you should look into the sunken trampolines and see whether that's a good fit or whether that could work for you. As you're over at Dawn site, which is beautiful, there's so many cracking ideas over there, look on her sidebar and she has a fantastic book by the looks of it called Gardening Crafts for Children. I just love it when the kids are able to combine different elements in a way that you just wouldn't have thought of. And this next idea is children's clothes and chalk. Now imagine. There's a monthly outdoor play club online where a large group of bloggers share outdoor play activities on their blog. It's a linky, and many other bloggers link up their outdoor activities too. So you can imagine once a month there's this huge long list of outdoor play activities that you can do of all different types and ranges that you can be inspired to do. It's amazing to look and see the ideas and to be able to follow through and actually use them. Because it's one thing to just look at these ideas and think how wonderful it is. It's another to actually follow through and actually make a plan and do them. But this was a simple idea that I saw from the host. One of the hosts there, because there's a few hosts that host it, is the iowafarmerswife.com. I'm trying to make sure I say that right. The Iowa Farmers wife.com, and she has a post called Outside Play Link Up Chalk Dress Up. It's really clever. Imagine drawing full people and putting clothes on them. Real clothes on them, not chalk clothes, but real clothes that you get from the cupboard. I can see this totally as an invitation to play with my boys. With part of the body drawn, I don't know, half of it, you know, one side, or all the legs, but not the skirt or the trousers. And then they would have to finish off the body and finish off putting all the pieces, the hat on, the coat on, the dress, whatever. I can imagine the fun that they would have playing around with something like that. If you set it up as an invitation to play, they would kind of happen upon it and be like, oh, what's this? And then they would get that perspective thing when they realize that they're looking down at a person and these clothes just aren't thrown on the floor. They're actually part of the activity. It'll be kind of great to see their face, I think, to do something like that. So that's the iowafarmerswife.com, and that's the chalk dress up post. Just like the bathroom is a good place for a quick spray down, lots of sensory activities often happen in there because it's easier to clear up. Often there's a tile floor so you can just wipe it all down, and or they're in the bath or in they're in the shower so you can just spray it all off. Outdoor play gives the kids a chance to get down and dirty and experience all the wealth of sensory experiences. Soft, hard, silky, and they can become real scientists. Now we have the bonus now of a quick spray down that we can do with them outside before they come in. Setting up stations gives us time for afternoons of outdoor play, squeezing, squelching, and finding ways to play with mystery substances. So it's no wonder that Rebecca over at the Golden Gleam sets up stations of different materials in a really simple way and encourages unstructured and independent play with her family. So check out thegoldengleam.com and look for Outdoor Messy Station for free play. There's so many different things that you can do with outdoor stations for the kids to be able to play on. And Rebecca has some really simple ideas of how to set all of that up really quickly. So you can do this very regularly with just common substances that you find inside the house. Now, sometimes we like to step it up a little bit and do a play activity that we actually take outside and use outside. Now, I love this natural ice boat activity that you can do. They actually made it at home and then took it to the local lake or park and was able to use it. And that was over at readingconfetti.com. And look for natural ice boats. Natural ice boats. Or maybe you have play activities that you do inside, like Play-Doh, and maybe you left it out and it's gone a bit hard, or it's an older piece of Play-Doh and it's starting to be tired and you're thinking, well, I'm just going to throw it away. Before you throw it away, you can repurpose it and reuse it and recycle it. Try taking it outside and doing other things with it, but using it outside, so as it crumbles, you'll be able to deal with it outside. And there was an excellent post there at playbasedlearning.com.au called Recycling Play-Doh that will give you lots of ideas about what you can do with Play-Doh outside. We talked about some big movements already, being outside on trampolines, but I know trampolines aren't fun for everyone. Some of our sensory kids don't like all the bouncing up and down and the movement like that, and they would prefer some running around type activities. Well, I love the activity from Sun Hat and Welly Boots. She shared some great ideas about playing with large shapes, actually making shapes out of different materials and doing activities in and around those large shapes. So check out her post at sunhatsandwellyboots.com. Building, playing with large shapes is her post. And of course, there are all the classic things that you can do outside if you prepare for it. Things like rolling down a hill. Who doesn't like to roll down a hill? Hopscotch. Climbing on homemade coloured tree stumps. You know, that's so much fun, being able to hop from one to the other. And I saw that post over at Adventures at Home with Mum, M-U-M, .blogspot.com.au. And that post was called Balance Stumps Outdoor Play Decor. And lots of kids like to do these balancing activities when they go over to the playground. So wouldn't it be fun for them to be able to practice at home, not to get better so that they are the best, but to have fun learning how to control their body, shifting their balance, getting used to the direction and the weight of where things go, feeling the weightlessness of their feet as they shift and try and stand on one foot and make decisions about when to move to that next step. Having all this endless time to be able to practice and perfect and have fun and just play around with it. If you've been inspired today by some of these outdoor activities that I've been sharing, maybe you actually want to create a natural outdoor play space. We've talked about play spaces before on the inside and creating a play space there, and we mentioned briefly an outdoor play space, but maybe you want to look at a natural outdoor play space. Then I hope that you will look at motheringwithmindfulness.com. motheringwithmindfulness.com, where she has transformed her backyard with a teepee, a sandbox, a balance beam, a set of swings, a garden area, and a rock area. All of these just blend in with her family, and it just looks amazing to see how she has used her space to create a natural outdoor play space. They're clearly a family that loves being outdoors and wanted to be able to share the outdoors so that their children felt that they could use the outdoors as much as they like to use the outdoor space as parents. It's great if you can go hiking, it's great if you can go exploring, but sometimes we just want them to be outside and enjoying the space just outside our door. We don't want to have to go somewhere else with them. We want them to just experience the outside, but our outsides aren't always child friendly enough for them to be able to do that. So I hope that today you've heard some play ideas and been inspired to look into some outdoor play activities. Hopefully it's got your creative juices going on what you can do in your backyard to encourage play. There are so many natural resources that you can choose, things that you can go to, places that you can see, and I hope that the links provide value for you, that you'll be able to look and be able to make that mishmash of ideas, take them on, and really do it. So now it's your turn. What outdoor play activities and ideas are you doing this year? Do you have an outdoor play area? What do you do for shade and play? Or rain and play? Do you have any tips for reluctant outdoor tots? Or new takes on activities, a bit like that trampoline that was sunken into the ground? Go on over to the show notes for this episode and leave a comment and tell us all about it. RaisingPlayfulTots.com/137. That's the number 137. 137. So that's about it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots. Check out the show notes for all the links that I've mentioned in this episode, and you'll find those over at the show, raisingplayfultots.com/137. If you're a fan of Raising Playful Tots and you like what you've heard, tell your friends. We'd love it if you would share some of that love by visiting raisingplayfultots.com/love. What this will do, it will write a tweet in your Twitter feed that will say that you're listening to the podcast and that you like it. It's a great way to tell to share the show with other people and tell them that you like it. And I thank you for doing it. You can sign up to my newsletter, and I have a free gift there waiting of 10 ways to extend your child's play. I also give show updates and tell you lots of ideas about how you can raise a playful tot, as well as some ideas about balance and focus as well. And you can get that newsletter by going to raisingplayfultots.com/subscribe. That's raisingplayfultots.com/subscribe, and you'll be able to get your free gift there. Have you got a show suggestion or a topic or a question? Maybe something today about outdoor play has made you think about something else, or you've seen something and you'd like to know a little bit more about it. I have a new link that you can use for you to be able to submit your podcasting question that you would like maybe a show about, or you'd like that question answered. You can go to raisingplayfultots.com/podcast question. Love to be able to answer your questions there and play them on a show or get a show all about it. So don't forget to nip on over there if you have something for me. I hope you guys have a great week, and thanks for listening. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 137. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!